It's like we've had church already, isn't it?
Amen.
Wow. How long do I have now? Like 3 hours? I think you said 3 hours, right?
Yeah.
No, we won't do that. I promise. I told my church that I may be long, but I'm never winded, so don't call me long-winded. And at the same time, I also said, you know, Paul, he preached till somebody fell out of the window, and he died, so... I guess they just raised him from the dead, and Paul kept preaching. What I love is the fact that he didn't quit preaching. And as any good preacher loves that particular story, I'm not sure everybody in the seat does, but it's a great... You know, Jesus, he preached until it was supper time, and right past supper time, and they said, Jesus, everybody's going to faint. Well, I don't see anybody here that's ready to faint from hunger, so... We'll just keep preaching, and if you do, I promise that Ryan will feed you somewhere down the line. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. Cool. I told my church, if you faint from hunger, I'll feed you. But hey, I'm in your church, so praise the Lord. And you at home, hey, well, you could go for a really long time because the fridge is just around the corner. So, well, we're gonna love. I mean, I love the Lord. We love the church, and. And we're just going to spend some time with the lover of our souls, if that's all right with you. We're going to spend some time listening to the Holy Spirit. I know that I came with a great, amazing word that was just all laid out line upon line. And it was just amazing. And then the Lord said, well, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. And so we're just going to let the Holy Spirit have his way. Is that all good? Yeah, I think that's good in this place. I can tell you guys probably prefer that. And okay, we're good. I will tell you, though, there are many times that the Lord has that other one just laid out perfectly. I want you to look at something with me when we think about the preaching of the Word. I want to look at Colossians chapter 1, and this is just... you never told me how long I got.
11:30, 12.
So 11:30, and it's 11 o'clock here now? Because I was going to say, my other watch says 12 o'clock right now, but no, okay. Yeah, because we're from home. He said earlier at prayer time, he said they had an international preacher. But I want you to hear something right now. Every one of you is from a different land. We are ambassadors from heaven, and you are all international ministers of the gospel of Christ, right? Amen. So, all right, where did I say? Colossians chapter 1, right? Okay. I'll look it up to verse 28 and 29. Where did I put I think my glasses are in my jacket. The camera guy said, don't walk out of the light. If you can see clearly, you're out of the light. But preach from the light. And so... Walk in the light as you preach. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Him we preach. Who's the him it's talking about there? Jesus. Jesus we preach. Jesus is the Word made flesh. I love, the Lord took me many years ago through a journey and talked to me about how the Word and Jesus were one. And so when you get Jesus, you get the Word.
Yes.
This is so powerful. Because when you get the Word, you get Jesus. And sometimes we don't always recognize it, but the preaching of the Word is so powerful because every time I get preached to by a man or a woman of God who is anointed by God, who is preaching the Word of God. Now, you can preach all kinds of things, but you don't want to preach all kinds of things. You want to preach the Word of God. And we do that without apology. Right? So right now, you see all kinds of things going on in our not just North America here, and I can say North America because we're part of that too, but throughout the world, you see all kinds of, I mean, there's crazy fear all over.
Yeah, that's right.
And I want to encourage you today that you should not be afraid. Just don't be afraid. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You have this relationship, this right standing with God that goes above and beyond all of those things. And when everybody else is crying out, we don't know the answer, you have the answer. It's Him.
Yeah.
He is the truth. Yeah. He is the way. Right? You want life? He is life. So let's just keep reading here for a sec. Him we preach. We're talking about Jesus, the Word. We're talking about all that. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, because all wisdom comes from God, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I love that. You get to be presented perfect. Now, many people say, well, I don't know if I'm perfect, Pastor Gary. We're not perfect. But wait a sec. That word perfect just simply means complete. Mature. And you ought to know that in Jesus you are complete. In Jesus you are mature. You can mature in the Lord. Now, I should say that not everybody does, but they could. But one of the things that has to happen for that to happen is you need the preaching of the Word.
Yes, that's right.
You need the preaching of the Word if you're going to be made mature and complete.
Yeah.
I've run into people over the years. I've been doing this for a lot of years. And I've run into people that say, well, I don't need church. I don't need the quote-unquote institutionalized church. I don't want the institutionalized. Who wants an institution? The Bible doesn't talk about an institution. It talks about a body. It talks about, when we all come together, every joint supplies. So I'm here to bring something. You're here to bring something. And together, we find the purpose and the will and the destiny of God for each and every one of us.
Yes.
And you might say, well, all I do is clean the toilets, or all I do is vacuum. You know what? If that's your destiny in Jesus, do it. And do it with all your might.
Yeah.
I know I did that. I had that season that I went through. I often think about how the Lord's had me down different paths and what I've done. And I've been a children's minister, and I've been a youth minister, and I've been a worship minister. And I have literally done, I can't find anything that I haven't done other than a little infant nursery with nursing moms. I stayed out of that. I administrated it at one point, but I didn't do that. I was like, that's not, you do that. And for obvious reasons. But other than that, I've pretty much done all the different roles that you could do. And I thank God for it. Now, your church might have something that you do in a ministry that I don't do in our. And so, I mean, there could be little things here and there, but within a local church setting, I've done so many of those things, and I thank God for that. And I learned in each one of those areas. This is what I learned with children's ministry. I was doing 6 to 11 years old, 11-year-olds, and everybody that I was working with, pretty much, except for probably Kevin, but all of them were doing it for a season, thinking, but God will bring me to my real ministry. And I thought, Jesus, I don't want that. I don't want to always be striving, and my personality could be that I would strive and try to perform better and get there another way. And I found myself saying, Jesus, I don't want that. I tell you what, if it's okay with you, I'm just going to do everything I can right now. And if this is all I do till you come back or till I go to be with you, I'm good with that. And what happened is, in the midst of all of that, He has, and when the Lord elevates you, it's much better than if you elevate yourself. And I don't even know if the right phrase is elevating. It's probably just when He moves you from one spot to another spot. And so you just let the Lord do that. But wherever you're at, do it with all your might. Do it as if Jesus is watching you that day, because He is. Do it as if the Holy Spirit is with you in that moment, because I can tell you what, I have mowed the lawn for the pastor, and I have fallen on my knees and met Jesus in the midst of it. Got off the riding mower, and he had a pasture and horses, and I was mowing it, and I can remember him talking to me as I was going back and forth on the riding mower, and it was so powerful. I got off the mower and found myself on my knees weeping as the Lord was healing some things on the inside of me. And all I was doing was mowing a lawn next to a pile of horse manure because the horses were in the pasture too. Jesus doesn't care. But when he sees you serving with the right heart. I've stood in the pulpit and I've cleaned toilets. Jesus doesn't look at one or the other and say, this is higher or this is lesser. He says, are you serving me? Let's be kingdom people. Is that okay? And that's for free. It wasn't part of my message. It's just yours. Take that. So we were talking about the preaching of the word. So him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working with which works in me mightily. And I think that that's got to be understood, that whenever you come, somebody is giving you something that will help to mature you and help to complete you in Christ. Amen. And we need more than ever mature believers in the body of Christ. I'm really tired, I'll be honest with you, as I do travel a little bit, and even in my own church, I'm a little bit tired of guys who have been in the church for a lot of years, and they say things like, you know, Pastor, if you would just preach a little shorter, then we'd probably fill the church. Well, why is that? Well, you know, we've heard it all before. If you really heard it all before, and if you were really rejoicing over the word, then you'd be happy when the preaching was coming out, I tell them. And you know what I've also found out? I found out we got all these new people, we get them saved, and they come to church, and if we preach for 2 hours, they say, oh, that's how church goes. Okay. That was awesome. It's people who've been around for a long time and are still acting like little children. I don't like this. Do it my way. Oh, I'm just... You invited me and I'm being so nice. You were so gracious. Am I doing okay? Yeah, okay. But I think sometimes we just need to grow up. Sometimes we'll have services where all we do is sing. Sometimes we'll have services where all we do is pray. Sometimes we'll have services where all we do is preach. And everybody goes, really? Yeah. What if you came in on Sunday morning and he preached and you never sang? Everybody'd say, well, I don't know what that pastor's doing. Well, wait a minute. You want times when all you do is worship. What if the Holy Spirit said to do that? Can you just take all that we plan to do, throw it out the window and say, Holy Spirit, we got all these things and we'll just do what you tell us to do. Amen. I think that's the way we ought to operate this thing. I know that there are times when we get to church and we're talking about who's preaching, whatever. And it was fun when your pastor was visiting with us. I let him speak for a minute and Benjamin asked, yeah, I thought Dad wasn't preaching today. But it's okay. I thought, you know, listen, if he did an hour, I'd have sat down and said, well, hey, we had church. Exactly. I showed up at a friend's church one day. I was just passing through. I'd been ministering out of town and until Saturday, and so Sunday morning, I drove up to his church. I drove up, and I was late getting there, first of all, because it was like an hour and a half away and everything, and the pastor where I had been ministering said, hey, can we have breakfast? And so it took me longer, and I got there a little bit late, and I'm telling you this story, and I don't know why I give you all those details, but nonetheless, I got there late, and I walked in, and I'm just going to sit in the back, and the usher says, no, if I don't sit you up front, then pastor's going to be really mad at me, and you can't let the pastor be mad at me because you didn't want... I said, oh, I don't want to make a scene, and he said, no, do it. So I went and sat up in the front, and the pastor's standing there, and he says, you know what, we got Brother Gary, and I know he's been ministering up north here, and so why don't you come, and why don't you just share a little bit what's been going on? And he said, if you take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, whatever, just come, which is like totally dangerous with a preacher. So I stood up there, and an hour later, We're having an altar call about the Holy Spirit and all these new people that have been coming to a church. Like 18 people got filled with the Spirit that day. And then all of a sudden the other, like everybody else was coming for direction from the Holy Spirit. The place was just, the altars were full, and who knew? And we went out for dinner. He said, you know, I had a word, but it just wasn't like burning. But you showed up, and we didn't get to talk ahead of time. We just need to let the Holy Spirit run the show. Let the Holy Spirit run the show. I found this out, that when I let the Holy Spirit run the show, I have a really hard time being in fear.
That's true.
Now, you could say, well, I do these things. The Holy Spirit says to do this. But here's the thing is, I have this relationship that I've developed with the Holy Spirit so that, and I've seen it time and time again, well, that doesn't make sense for me to do that, Jesus. Holy Spirit, are you really asking me to do? I've asked sometimes, like, this sounds, I did a youth conference. I was climbing all over the stage, running out of the room, running back into the room and everything. Like it was, and people are like, what's he doing? But the Holy Spirit used it. I like left the room and came back. Kept preaching from the other room. He wanted to prove, he wanted to make a point, so I demonstrated the point. I have laid down on the stage. I've jumped up on the stage. I've walked down the chairs on top of them. My wife say yes, yes. But whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do, here's the thing is that I've discovered that every time that I do what he tells me to do, the results are kingdom results. I'm supposed to be a kingdom person. And so we got to be led by the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's why we got, Jesus is leaving and he says to his disciples, it's good for you that I leave. How could this be? He said, but don't you worry, because when I go, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And so you recognize that that Holy Spirit, when you're listening to him and when you're doing what you're supposed to do and you're following the Holy Spirit, there's something powerful that is at the other side. And when you develop that relationship and you just trust him like that, then all of a sudden you can say, oh, that's how it works. And fear begins to go away because your trust is in the one who knows more than you in the first place. You think you know. You don't know. Tell me. Tell me that last week at this time you knew you're only supposed to have a 50 people in a gathering. You didn't know this was going to happen. He knew. Nothing surprises him. Nothing surprises him. I remind myself often that Jesus is still Lord. He's still on the throne, and he knew we would be exactly where we are right when we got there. I love when Jesus said, follow me, to all the disciples. This is one of the powerful things for me, that when he said, follow me, come, follow me, come, follow me. Because he said to me, Gary, if you recognize that you're following me, you'll also recognize that I have been where you're going. I know exactly what is ahead of you because I've already been there. I thought, oh, that's cool. Yeah, totally. So you knew I was going to shake Ryan's hand, and he's from SoCal where, you know, that's a hot spot. You knew I'd do that. But you gave me the Holy Spirit. You gave me the healing virtue of God. You put in my life all those promises that I have. So I don't have to be afraid. You think about Mark 16. You know, go in all the world, preach the gospel. Those who believe will cast out devils, lay hands on. But there's this phrase he says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I was listening. I was doing a bunch of reading in the news and whatever, you know, as many of us are. And that's okay, as long as you keep the news, and the word. Yeah, right. And you give the right priority to the word. We understand that, right?
Yeah.
And so when I was reading that and thinking about what's going on, I realized that it's like the devil to just overplay his hand. You got God saying, lay hands on the sick and see him recover. And he knows that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what has he got the world talking about? Don't touch anybody.
That's so true.
You have the very answer in you.
Yeah.
So by faith, what do? We lay hands on the sick and see him recover. That's what we're standing on.
Yeah.
We got a promise, man.
We do have a promise.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
You doing all right? You still with me? Okay. All right. Where's next, sir? Let's jump over to John chapter 4. Actually, I'll just talk to you about it. You know the woman at the well? And John chapter 4, if you want to look at it later, it's John chapter 4. And Jesus is standing there. He's with the woman at the well. I'm only just telling you the story, but you should read it. You know, every time that the word comes to you, you should study that somewhere down the line. You should take notes in church. When your pastor preaches, you should be writing notes down. You should take notes, or you should go back to the app and listen to it again and take notes. And you should study that stuff out, because that's what God is feeding you. And the word that you need, you know, you can find good things other places, and the Lord will direct you to the odd place to hear other things. But the word that you need is in your house. Otherwise, the Lord would ask you to go to that other church. Right? Now, I'm not against feeding on other things and everything, but what I need for sustained growth, what I need to be brought to that place of maturity, is I need this consistent, timely, line upon line, precept upon precept word. And so when you get to church, that's what you're getting. I love ice cream. I love ice cream. Ice cream is one of my, you know, Paul said that our righteousness is of faith, and that the weakness of the law was the flesh. And so being righteous by the law, the weakness was the flesh. Well, I have this weakness in my flesh that is ice cream. I wouldn't say that's good doctrine, bad doctrine. That's just me having fun. But the point that I'm trying to make is that if all I did was eat ice cream all day,
yeah,
if all you do is follow all the flashy stuff of the day, I honestly don't think there's anything wrong with ice cream every once in a while. But that's not my steady diet. I learned a number of years ago when I was in my 20s that somewhere I had to begin to change some things, or by the time I was 50, I'd have been... Because, you know, at 20, 21, and 22, my metabolism was racing like crazy. I burn off whatever. It's not the same today. I have to eat more green stuff. They're saying, yes, yes, yes. I have to eat, you know, I just have to eat better. I was at Donnelly's place last night. They had these wonderful little cupcakes with cream cheese icing, and it must have been like from heaven, because it made the saints really happy. You were happy too, see? But that can't be your steady diet. That can't be every, and so sometimes you need, well, I don't really want to eat my vegetables. Well, you got to eat your vegetables anyway. Well, I don't really want to learn about righteousness today. I want to learn about faith today. So, pastor, come on, preach what I want. No. You got to listen to what the Holy Spirit's directing. And so it might be a season where you need to learn about righteousness, or it might be a season where you need to learn about the importance of doctrine. Oh, man, could that really be? Yeah, the Holy Spirit could direct him to teach about the importance of doctrine. What we really need is just the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but what if the Holy Spirit said, preach on doctrine?
Yeah.
I have a point to all of this. Trust me, we're going to get somewhere that's happier than this. I'm sorry. We will get happier before we end. But what this is doing, it's like Paul when he said bodily exercise profits little. But he didn't say it didn't profit. It does profit little. But in the natural, in my flesh, if I don't ever exercise, if I don't ever get out of my chair and walk down the street and walk back, or if I don't do anything with my physical body, I have watched some men of God, totally anointed and powerful men of God, get to the point where they couldn't stand to preach anymore because of their physical body. They didn't take care of it. Yeah. I just don't want to. I want, Lord, please. Yeah. Keep me sustained. And he says, great, get out of your chair. Go for a walk. Jog today. Do something today. And that's important, but it's not the most important. I get that. But if I want to have a healthy body, now this is just a picture I want to present for you. If I want to have a healthy body, I don't go to, am I allowed to name restaurants?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I don't go to McDonald's every day. You ever see that show, Super Size Me?
Yeah.
That was... Like, I don't like McDonald's that much. I don't really. But you don't go to Jack in the Box. You don't go every day. You know, I think today I'll do breakfast at Wendy's. I'll do Jack in the Box for lunch, and I'll do McDonald's for supper. And tomorrow we'll just switch it up and go to a different order. If you do that every day, you're going to be so unhealthy. We know this, right? You can't eat junk food all day, but. To go to, on the way down here, we went to Jack in the Box. I don't have anything against Jack in the Box. I just know that can't be what I eat all the time. Same time, sometimes I pull out my phone and I have a quick fix on a podcast somewhere. That's all cool. Great. Get a quick fix. But you're going to need someone who will sit you down like a good parent and say, you got to eat your veggies. But you're going to have holes in your doctrine that the enemy will walk through, and he'll beat you up every time. You cannot reason your way through your faith. You can't reason your way through your faith. When it says of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, he says, wow, that much time is still left. Yeah, see? The way, yeah. When he talks in Romans chapter 4 about Abraham, and Abraham says, or it says of Abraham that who against hope believed in hope, the King James says. Against hope, that first hope is talking about human reasoning. Hope based on human reasoning that you could try and figure out on your own. But I'm here to tell you that if you live your Christian life based on your human reasoning, there's the odd thing that you'll reason out. But I'll tell you, you cannot fight the good fight of faith in the arena of reason. Because 95% of the time, the devil will beat the tar out of you. He will beat you up and he will throw you outside the ring. Reasoning is his arena. We fight the good fight of faith. This is a whole different arena.
It is.
And so I've got to get in a place where I'm constantly being fed and I'm constantly being prepared for this fight of faith. Who against hope, based on human reasoning, believed in hope, confident expectation for my future. I'm confident in the Word of God. I'm confident in the promise of God. So I'm not worried. The world is worried right now. I'm not worried. I deal with stuff. I need to wash my hands. I'll wash my hands. You should wash your hands anyway. What do you mean you weren't washing your hands before? You just have to take me like I am.
No.
Oh, gosh, please. But, please. here you are in the arena of faith. I washed my hands before, I wash my hands now. But washing my hands is not my answer.
No, that's right. That's right.
My answer is Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
The one who is the Word made flesh. The one who's one with the Holy Spirit who now dwells inside me. You think about this. The Prince of Peace. I said this in a little video to my church just yesterday that we sent home. Now think about this. The Father is for you. Jesus is with you. And the Holy Spirit's in you. You got it made, man. The presence of God is with you. Mark chapter 4. Let's actually go there. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Somebody say, thank God for the Word. You should open your Bible sometime while you're preaching. Right? Like, please, preacher. I went to a church one time. I'd always heard about Reader's Digest sermons. I always laughed about it when I was a young guy. When I was in Bible college, they talk about Reader's Digest condensed versions and or preaching and all of that. And I thought, yeah, I like anybody else. But then I went to a church. I was visiting family, and I went to a church, and the guy never opened his Bible, never referenced the scripture, but he referenced the story that he had read in the Reader's Digest. And he preached that whole thing out of the Reader's Digest instead. And I thought, dear Jesus. So we went home and prayed our family out of that church into a church to preach the Word.
Amen.
Preachers ought to preach the Word.
Amen.
Don't you think?
Amen.
All right. Mark chapter 4. We're going to go to the end of it here. There's so much in here, but you know, if we don't go all the way to the end. Actually, let's go look at 21 for just a sec. Verse 21. And also, he said, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or put under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Now, I love this picture of the lampstand because you and I are the light. Jesus, his light in us. And now we're sent as light, salt and light into the world, right? And he didn't just say, okay, now you be light, but he put it on a lampstand. The picture that you see, and you see this really clearly if you do a lot of study into Revelation, he's talking about the lampstand, that the higher the lamp was lit, the farther that light was reached. So they would light the lamp. The oil is representative of the Holy Spirit, right? And it's lit, and it's up there, and the higher it goes, the more it lights. And so he's saying, listen, I want to put you up on this pedestal so that you can light that light as far as the eye can see. Yeah. I've always liked the idea or the thought that the light that shines farthest should shine brightest right at home.
Yeah.
If a ministry is shining all over the world but won't shine in their own city, I think that's a problem. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, we're this lamp. We're put on a lampstand.
Amen.
And we're supposed to shine this light that's on the inside of us. Right?
Amen.
All right, let's jump down to the end there. Let's go to verse 35. There's more in there, but I've got to get to this point. Yeah. I think your clock is faster than my watch, so we'll go with my watch.
Yeah,
okay. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Listen to that. Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. You got that? Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that all was it was already filling, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, I want you to see something that Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." So the word speaking said, "We are going over there." Okay, Jesus, we're going over there. I believe you. We're going over there. I now have a promise to stand on. Right? Word of the Lord, that's a promise to me. When Jesus speaks, even E.F. Hutton listens. That's for you older generation people. The younger people, they don't know. That was an old ad campaign. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Sometimes I show my age, Sandy. Sorry. It's okay. But Jesus said, "We're going over there." And then he's in the boat with them. And they end up in the middle of this storm. They get fearful. I moved to Alberta a little while ago. And when I did, you know, there's always been a little part of me. I used to work on ranches and things as a young guy in camps, ranch camps. And I worked with the horses and the young people. And I helped them and everything, learned how to ride. And So there's always been a little bit of cowboy in me. I do have buckles, boots, and I don't have spurs anymore, but I don't need them. So I got the hat. I could do the cowboy thing. And there's always a little bit of a cowboy attitude in me. Hang on to that thought. I'll just tell you. So when I moved to Alberta, Alberta is like our Texas. It's ranching, it's farming, lots of that, and oil industry. And so we got a lot of cowboys in that area. When I got there, I began to shift in how I preach sometimes, a lot of times. And Beth will tell you that all of a sudden I would say this, and I'd say this, and I'd say this, and I'd say this. And I called it my lariat preaching. I give you all these points, and at the end, I'll take my lariat, I'll throw it over top, and we'll pull it all together. So hang on, we're getting to the point where I'm going to pull it all together. Because he might seem like, well, he said this about righteousness. Oh, he said this about faith. Oh, he said this about church. Oh, he said that. But the Holy Spirit's got us on a journey, okay? So hang on. So here we are as believers, and we got a word from the Lord that says, "This is where I want you to go." And the disciples are following Jesus. He's literally with them in the boat. And instead of remembering his words that said, "Hey, we're going to get to the other side," they're looking at the storms. There is a lot of the world, well, all the world is looking at the storm right now. Where I have it, and I don't expect anything else from them. It's like I tell my people about sinners. When sinners sin, what did you expect? That's their nature. Don't be surprised when a sinner sins. That's what sinners do. You're no longer, you don't have that sin nature on the inside of you anymore. Jesus removed that sin nature, and he made you the righteousness of God in Christ. So stop sinning.
Yes, that's right.
You should be surprised when believers sin, but don't be surprised when sinners sin. That one was for free. So here we are in the boat with Jesus. He has said, "We're going to the other side." And we start to look at the storm. The world looks at it and sees it. Okay, they're going to react and respond to the storm. Let's go back and stay on the shore. But the church shouldn't be moved by the storm. We have a word. We have the word. And that word is actually on the inside of us. And we carry it with us wherever we go. Now remember, the Father's for you, Jesus is with you, and the Holy Spirit's in you. And so now we're moving along with that word, and even in the midst of the storm, we can say, oh, wow, look what's going on. And everybody else is responding to it, but for us, we should not get into fear. You know, I grew up in church, and so I've got all the fear is false evidence appearing real and all the different things. But here's a reality is fear is just believing what the devil said instead of what God said. Fear is faith that the devil is stronger than God. And I want you to hear me, whether you're at home or whether you're here. Don't respond in fear, because fear will cause you to respond by throwing stuff off the boat and, whoa, we're going to go to, oh no, let's go back. No, wait. Jesus said, you're going to the other side. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. If I was in, you know, stuff was starting already before I left. As a matter of fact, our first day across, as we crossed the border, it was later that day that, I mean, there were announcements about our prime minister in Canada. His wife had been tested and she had contracted the COVID-19 and all of that. And he was self-quarantining himself and doing all of that, our prime minister. And so having to do everything now by video chat and phone calls and all of that. Well, you know, we could have responded to that and said, you know what, we can't go. I was so proud, and I was so of how you honored Joey. I love Joey and everything. It was such an amazing thing to have him as a part of our body for the years that we had him, and we're so thankful that Tam is part of our body, and Micah and Naomi, and I promise you, we'll do our absolute best to take care of them like family, because they are family. I know they started calling us their Canadian family while they were up. Well, you're our American family. We love you. Couldn't have better neighbors. Couldn't have better neighbors. But our response could have been, well, we can't go. What's going to happen? We don't know. I got ministers who are texting me saying, are you going to get back? Are you okay? I was like, dude, I'm fine. What if they don't let you back in the country? Canada's my country. I got a passport. I'm coming back. Don't worry. Even if they close the border, they're not closing the border to me. That is my home. You understand that, right? So, you know, some of them were just joking with me, but, you know, somewhere, some of them were, like, really concerned for me. But, and we could have responded with that and said, we're not going. And I was glad to be here for the service and everything. And when Pastor Beth and I were just praying about whether we come and make this trip beforehand, this is before all the hubbub. But we had prayed about it, and we wanted to be here because Joey was a big part of our life. Yeah. And so that's just out of relationship, yeah. Period. But we felt like the Lord said to come because Ryan had said, I want you to minister. If you come, I want you to minister when you're there. And so it was like, Lord, what do we do? And it was, you're going for the memorial, but I want you to leave a deposit. I want you to share something. And so we're here today, and we're here on purpose, and we're here with kingdom purpose. So I got a word. God told me to come here. I couldn't stay home. If they try to keep me out of the U.S., I'd have argued with them. But you don't know. God told me to go. I don't know if it would have helped me or not. Some of those guys at the border are pretty big. I'm just saying. But listen, I was doing everything I could to come because God told me to come. I'm thankful for that. Thankful that we got here. I got a word. So whatever mass hysteria storm is going on, I'm okay. Because I got a word from the Lord. Peace, be still. So here they are. They're panicking. I better finish. As I like to say, if I don't finish soon, I'll grow a beard before I'm done. I'll look like you. They'll look on the screen and say, I thought there was a guest speaker. Oh, no, that is not. They'll know the difference. I have more white. You know, they're traveling along. The Lord has said, let's go. They're looking at the storm instead of looking at Jesus. They're looking at the storm instead of thinking about the Word. And they get into panic mode. And they're like, Jesus, I know you said to go, but don't you care? We're going to die. He's like, guys, what's the deal? And he gets up and he says, peace, be still. I often wonder sometimes, so what if they would have just said, hey, Jesus, like, we're supposed to go, so we're going to make it. Like, that's not the deal. But the storm's going on. You got some advice here? Yeah, just go tell the storm to be at peace. It'll be fine. And then John or Peter or somebody, Andrew would have said, just peace be still. And all of a sudden, don't you think it would have obeyed? This is a dramatic pause.
Yes.
Think about that for a minute. Say lie, as they say. And just think about that, though.
Yeah.
I allow my mind when I'm meditating on the Word and thinking about those stories to try and put myself in the picture, and then wonder what if sometimes. And sometimes in the middle of that, the Lord's telling me what I should do when I get into that spot.
Yeah.
So let's remember this. So here's the cool part, is that even though they got out of faith, even though they got into fear, when they remembered who was with them in the boat, they went and found the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
Number one, you have a promise. Yeah. Number two, you have the presence.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's with you. He's in you with his very presence. And when you get the presence, you get the power. So when you look at what's going on around you in the world today, remember this. The Prince of Peace, with all of his presence, is with you. With all of his power, is with you. So you don't have to be afraid. You're going to the other side. Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And it's not based on anything other than the fact that Jesus redeemed you. His blood worked. It's a gift. Romans chapter 5 calls it the gift of righteousness. You've been given this gift. You are righteous. You can come boldly before the throne of grace, find a very present help in your time of need, and have confidence that the Lord hears your prayer. And you have the petitions that you've made of him. You ought to pray for your family at this time. You ought to pray for your friends at this time. You ought to pray for your country. You ought to pray for your city. You got to pray, man. You have the answer. So the Prince of Peace stands up and says, "Peace be still." And they have still. Their response in the natural and in the flesh is, "Whoa!" And they go back to being afraid. But as they matured and they got to know Jesus a little better, some things happened, some things changed. And when you see the Holy Spirit comes on them and they're empowered now, all of a sudden they stand up and they do things like preach. And they heal the sick and they get stoned and come back and preach some more. Paul did, and it's like not stoned like, you know, in Canada we just legalized marijuana. It's not that kind of stone that we're talking. Stone with stones, right? Dead stone. And he come back and preach some more. Because I don't have to be afraid of you. I got a word from the Lord. I have this purpose. I have this destiny. So I can say coronavirus, COVID-19, corona, what do they call it? All the different things. Whatever it is, the name of Jesus is higher.
Amen.
And I'm not afraid of you. You will not stop me from going to the other side because the Lord told me, go to the other side. Now, I love the response of your pastor and your leadership team here, and honor and respect and recognizing authority, and I know your mayor said do this and 50 people and everything, but I love the honor with which you said, okay, well, we're going to adjust. You can't stop us from meeting because we'll meet on Facebook if we have to meet on Facebook. Amen. But here's the deal. Here's our response. We'll honor that for the time being. If you ever get us to the point where you say you can't ever meet together because, well, you know, no, we're going to meet for Jesus. Because there's a higher law. But we're going to respect and we're going to honor those things. And so if somebody comes and they're not comfortable shaking hands, that's fine. We're not worried about that. Because we honor and we respect all the other people and where they're at with Jesus and everything. But we're not going to get afraid. And if somebody doesn't want me, listen, I know he said, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. But I also know that I got other promises that I can stand on. So if somebody says, but don't touch me, I'll say, okay, can I pray for you with my hands behind my back? That's okay, because I can pray for you and still get my answer. Because Jesus is still your healer. The scripture is full of ways to get people healed. It's full. So we got to take that. We got to use that. So we're not disrespecting anybody. We're not dishonoring anybody. We're just living out our faith in front of everybody. But we cannot be afraid. You got that?
Yes.
The reason is, and I'm going to finish with this verse, Isaiah chapter 2. I sent this to my pastor, and yeah, I still have a pastor. I think in order to be good shepherd, you got to be good sheep. So Isaiah chapter 2, verses... Let's start in verse 2. And I think we'll probably read verse 2 and 3. That's what I sent him. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. Folks, if you're prophetically aware, if you are just, you have studied the word and you're aware of where we're at in the timeline of God, we're in the last days. These are the latter days. And if you don't believe in raptures, or you don't believe in the millennial reign of Christ, you don't believe in, that's okay, because either way, the church age is the latter days. We're there.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yep.
And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house, there was a really popular message in the last number of years, and probably about 10 years now, maybe a little bit longer, about the mountains on the earth. So you had media, and you had government, and you had entertainment, and education, all the mountains, the seven mountains or eight mountains, depending on which book you read. Tam's laughing. So, but you understand, some of you have heard that. This is what the Lord said to me when I was hearing all of those things, and there's some truth to all of that. There's never any one of those messages that is all the truth. There's other things that affect it, but when I was hearing all of that about those, the mountains of our society, this is the verse the Lord took me to.
Yes.
And I loved it right away, and he began to speak to me about it.
Yeah.
And so when I was preparing to minister today, the Lord reminded me of it, and I wasn't exactly sure how to fit it in, and yet the Lord is doing this. I want you to see, and I'm going to speak prophetically into the body right now, that all of the things that we talked about today, so you think about what you've been taught about being the righteousness of God in Christ. You think about what you've been taught about being a part of the body and serving in the body. You think about what you've been taught about having that place and maturing up in the Lord. You think about what you've been taught about the word of the Lord coming to you and maturing you as a Christian and growing up in Christ and not just being a babe, but being one who can handle the word of God. Think about how Paul said to Timothy, this is an amazing thing when you think about it, because Paul says to Timothy, show yourself approved, study to show yourself approved unto God, the King James says, rightly dividing the word of truth. I was studying this out one time, but he says, don't let any man despise your youth. You know that when he said that to him, he was in his 40s. Don't let anybody despise your youth. He's in his 40s. That changes the conversation a little bit. Although you should not let anybody despise you because of your youth. Especially not you, shouldn't you? Yeah, but what he's saying is, there's a maturity that comes. And what I recognized in that, the Lord showed me in that one day, was that the maturity that comes is irregardless of your age. So he's saying to Timothy, listen, don't let anybody look at you and say you're young, you don't know.
That's right. Yeah.
Because it's not about whether you're 40 or 30 or 20 or 10 or 60 or 80 or 90.
That's right.
Although, I tell you what, I sure respect people who know more than me and who have lived longer than me.
Yeah, that's true. So true.
We're still doing okay?
Good.
Oh, man. Like I said, I'm going to finish with this. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. Actually, I need to do this by the Holy Spirit. Ryan and Jenny, come on up here. You call her Jen, I call her Jenny. She said I could, so it's okay. Beth, come with me, please. I want you to face me. So let's do it like this so that... And let me just, don't move. Okay. I got to say this, that what I'm doing is I'm recognizing that prophetically the Lord wants to say something to you as a body.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do is I'm going to make this statement, but this is about moving into the authority that God has for you as a body in this community, the authority that you want to operate in. And I totally believe that the church is not supposed to be someone who just moves with society, but that moves society.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we do it not in the natural, but we do it by the Spirit.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Our authority on this earth comes from His authority in heaven.
Amen.
And knowing that when we speak, all of heaven backs us.
Yeah.
There's one in heaven who sits at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. He's up there pleading our case, saying, yes, that's mine, those are mine, and we agree with them. And then when we say open, it opens. When we say close, it closes. Not because we're great, but because he is.
Yep. Yep.
And we represent him.
Yep.
I love the story of the centurion who says, you know, I'm in authority because I'm under authority. You and I are under authority.
Yep.
But because of that, we have authority.
Amen.
And so what I'm about to say, Ryan and Jenny, not just for you, but for this whole body, for your leadership team, and I believe that the Lord will reveal the depth of it in the days ahead. Okay? So in the latter days, in 2020.
Praise the Lord.
It shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house at Osborne Church. Is it community church?
Neighborhood
church. Okay. Osborne Neighborhood Church. I should know that, right? Like, it's on the sign when you drive in, Pastor Gary. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord of, or sorry, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Amen.
Out of this house, now speaking prophetically, out of this house will go the word of the Lord.
Amen.
The law that is above man's law, the law of heaven, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus goes out of this place in the name of Jesus. And then on you is an anointing to carry that, to carry that authority and to speak. And so the Lord says, speak. When it's time to speak, you speak. You know when it's time to be quiet, be quiet. But when it's time to speak, you speak. And don't be afraid to speak. Both of you speak. No male, no female, no... It's not about that. It's not about Jew or Greek. It's not about slave or free. It's just about when the Lord says speak, you speak.
Amen.
And the authority of all of heaven will back you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you will see it change your neighborhood.
Amen. Yeah.
And you'll see it change as far as you reach with all of your influence in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
This, and this house will shine far.
Amen.
And the light that is in you.
Yeah.
And for all of you,
yeah,
wherever your influence is,
yeah,
stay connected.
Amen.
In authority comes from under authority. Stay connected.
Yeah.
And as you do, you go out there and don't be afraid to speak.
Amen.
Declare, prophesy into the spirit realm of your city.
Yes.
Prophesy into the realm over your business and over your places of employment, or over if you're in college, you better prophesy in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What the word tells you, what the Lord tells you to prophesy. So, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we thank you, Lord. And with the authority that's been placed on us, the mantle on us, Father, we place a new mantle.
Yes.
And even, Lord, as they step into this new realm where they're no longer going to be bivocational, Father God, that this church is rising up to a whole new level in Christ. I recognize a new day, a new thing. You said, I'm doing a new thing. Shall you not perceive it? Well, we perceive it, Lord.
Yes,
we recognize
we're
going there in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the authority, the mantle of authority that you've given them. And that they'll even speak. And I recognize that even the council being here, is it our leader, council,
our leader,
that meets here. Father, I recognize that the connection there, that you're going to give a voice to speak.
Yeah.
even into the natural governance of this area. And that it will begin to flow in a whole new way. And the grace and the mercy and the love of God. That is in them will flow through them. The kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit that is in them will flow through them. And it will affect this city. It will affect this whole region, Father God. L.A. will never be the same. Because of Osborne. And because of all the churches, not just this church. Father, we're just a part of the of the bigger picture. So we recognize the connection. Lord, I'll say that. And so you're going to get connected in other ways with other places as well. All of a sudden, there's going to be every joint supplying here in the body, but every joint supplying, you're going to all of a sudden find connection with other ministries and other places as well.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And the mountain of the house of the Lord will be raised.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And God's will will be seen. Even as they drive by and that drive-by thing, they'll drive by and you'll pray for them. They'll drive by and you'll speak the word and that influence will spread. And it will go. Not your influence. Kingdom influence.
Amen.
Because, Lord, they're not greedy. They're not about themselves. They're not about making themselves great. It's not about their name. It's about Jesus' name.
Yes.
There are people with a heart for you. So I thank you, Lord. That in the name of Jesus, as they elevate you, their influence increases. In the name.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, everybody! In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Do you have anything?
Yahanoto, Rohonaha, Yotaraha, Totoraha, Toto, Raha, Toha, Goto, Raha, Toto, Rabaha, Yahanato, Raha, Kia, Toto, Raha, Yohonana.
So I just get excited when the Lord does stuff. So like in this heart right here, in this heart that's going to begin to flow out of you, the heart that God put on you, the love of the Lord that's been shed abroad on your heart will begin to flow out and it'll begin to flow to all those who are around. You're going to come into contact with people that you never knew before, but they'll connect because of that. And so that same love is in your heart. That same love is in your... And sometimes your mind, though, gets in the way and you think, but that's not me. That's not who I am. But the Lord says it is who you are and don't be afraid to speak.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to speak. Because the two of you have been called to go together. Some people won't listen to him. They'll listen to you.
It's true.
That's the truth. And they'll listen because of who you are. And some people will listen to him. So together you'll go and your influence as a ministry and as a church will increase. And this is the part that made me smile in the beginning. But your influence and what you do in this community will far exceed what Osborne Neighborhood Church was in the past.
Amen.
Amen. Your better days are ahead.
Amen.
Thank God for all those foundations. But the future is very bright.
Amen.
Go to the other side, says the Lord.
Go to the other side.
Go to the other side.
Amen.
We love you. Hey, we love you. You're a great church. You're a great church, and you have great pastors, and we're just so thankful for them. And if it's all right, we are going to call you our U.S. family. This is our SoCal family. Yeah, praise the Lord.
I told you to be good word or what? God did not let us down. Pastors did not let us down. And I'm saying this isn't the last time you'll hear from them. I know God's, as you said, our friends. We'll see him again.
Praise the Lord.
And I know we're going to close and wrap up the service, but I just, that was 100% right on. I mean, I know God was speaking to me big time, just
like yelling to me certain things. But even just, he had no idea that this was the year that I said launch, right? We've been having boats. That's been my, all my PowerPoint has been a boat, and it's been launch all year long. And yesterday, even at Joey's memorial service, God gave me a picture of just being at the bow, that the Lord is at the helm, steering the ship. However you steer a ship, I don't know. Is this how you steer a ship? Probably not. yeah, that's my dad, right? The Navy. But there is that the Lord, that was right on. I mean, everything you said today, but that specifically for me was, even Sandy gave me a word just several weeks ago that we were talking in early morning prayer and someone said something and it just came out of my mouth before I even thought, well, I've always had the peace of God. It just came out of my mouth. Since I was a kid, I've always had the peace of God. And it's time that I go to the bow. It's time that I don't just wait for Jesus to say, peace, be still. It is time that I stand up and I say, peace, be still.
Yeah. So can I just take a minute? So,
you still on?
Yeah, I should be on.
Yeah.
All right. I turned it on. So I really believe that while I was sitting there, the Lord said something to me to tell you to do this. So I want you, and everybody, we ought to stand up. If you're at home, stand up with us, because we're going to stand. As I said earlier, I think I jokingly mentioned that SoCal has been, in some people's eyes, a hot spot for this thing. And so I know that you're not the only church that's going to do this. But I really recognize that in any neighborhood, in any area, there are those who stand at the gates and keep the gates, and they have to take their authority.
Yeah.
And so right now, I felt like the Lord said, you tell him to take his authority in a spirit realm over this area.
Yeah.
And so whatever, whether you say our leader or Pacoima or whatever, you know the area better than I do. San Fernando, L.A., do your job.
Yeah.
Sir, do your job. And let's lead and let's take our authority and use it the way that God intended us to use it. We're not using it for our sake.
Yeah.
The only people that are going to see this are the people that from your church. It's not like, well, I guess anybody could watch it. It's on Facebook now. Oh, man, it's on Facebook now. But the Lord's telling you, he's telling ministers all over this area. Mm-hmm. And you might have to remind them as well as you get to know them and develop those relationships to take your authority in the Spirit. The mountain of the house of the Lord, here's what I know by the Spirit, is by faith, mountain of the house of the Lord is raised up.
Yes.
One of the difficulties is, I got preaching again, is that we don't see ourselves there, and so we're here, but we're acting like we're here. So by the Spirit, I knew this, that I was to challenge you, not just to think about it, but to now this morning do it. Step up there and use your authority and speak, because there is this already. I recognize this morning there's a new mantle.
Mm-hmm.
So walk in it.
Yeah.
You'll need the Lord to guide you to use wisdom, because it doesn't mean you just go do whatever you want. It's a kingdom mantle.
Mm-hmm.
So man of God, speak.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Jenny, you better come stand with them. Okay. We'll stand with you, too. Come, Bethy.
So, Jesus, I thank you that you have been stirring this within my heart, within this church, for a long time, Lord God. That this is the year, as Pastor Beth said, this is the year 2020, to see ourselves the way you see us, Lord God. So I thank you, Lord God, that I am, even today, putting on new eyes to see myself the way you see me. God, I thank you that it's not just me, God, it's everyone here. Everyone here is a church, Lord God, that you are raising the bar, Lord God, for us to see the way that we are supposed to see ourselves, Lord God. As I saw yesterday at Joey's Memorial, I saw not just myself, I saw a sea of boats. I saw boats, or I just saw people going to the bow with boldness, with authority, and begin to point and begin to say, no, this was the word of the Lord. No, this is what God's word says. And so we do, God, we use your word that you brought this morning, that Jesus, you said, disciples, you have little faith. It was your job. You were supposed to say, peace be still, but I'll do it. But it was your job.
And so, Lord, we recognize that it is our job to open our mouths, to be your ambassadors, to speak on your behalf. And we say yes this morning. We say yes to your will, to your way, to your calling, to your purposes, to the authority you've given us. Jesus, you said all authority has been given to you, all authority. And then you said, now go. You gave it to your apostles. You gave it to your disciples. It's on us. It's on us to go. And so we say, yes, God, we receive the authority you've given us. And by faith, God, it's not with all full understanding, but it's by faith. We declare, we open our mouths. And so by the authority vested in me, by the authority vested in me, by not by just the state of California, God, but by the God of the Almighty who sits on the throne, I speak peace be still in the name of Jesus over the city of Los Angeles. Peace be still. Yes, it's going to shine bright here in Arleta. Peace be still. That we are going to be a beacon over Osborne Neighbor Church. Peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still. Amen. God, I thank you that in heaven there's angels saying, holy, holy, holy. They're saying it three times, God. Just repeating how holy you are, the perfection of your holiness. God, we spoke that in three times. Peace be still, because there is a holy, there's a power behind it, God. All of heaven is backing our declarations. God, I thank you that today marks a day where we are forever changed. We will continue to walk in the authority you've given us, God. We won't look back. There is no turning back. God, we thank you for your word that came forth and it did not return void. And then we're going to walk forward with faith in your name. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. We give you glory. We give you honor. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you guys at home. God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.